Book of Mark in chapter number 10. Last time I was able to preach, we talked about change. And at that time, I didn't have a son quite yet. He wasn't born. And a lot of things have changed since then, that's for sure. Before he was born, I had never changed a diaper. And now I definitely have changed some. Although I've been told they're not that bad at this point. Not until they start eating solid foods, then things will get interesting, but we'll see. Today, we're going to talk about a change that's hopefully happened in each of our lives and what to do with that change. A change that, Lord willing, has happened in each and every one of our lives, and what are we supposed to do with that change? Something, hopefully, is different now. In Mark chapter 10, there's a lot of different things going on, and obviously starts with Jesus talking about the divorce, and it goes on to Jesus teaching with the little children, and then he goes on to the money aspect with that rich young ruler that came and wanted to know, you know, he wanted to follow Jesus, how does he get to heaven? And, you know, Jesus simply told him, if you sell all that you'll have, it shows that there's no greater love you have than to follow me. And obviously he couldn't do that because his possessions were worth a lot more than that for him. And then obviously that led Jesus to give some warnings to the folks that were there that just saw all this take place that, hey, we got to be really careful that we don't put things in front of God. We got to be really careful that the monetary things of this world aren't taking God's place. And then Jesus talks a little more, and then James talks to James and John, because James and John want to be seated next to Jesus. And then at the very end, we've got a neat little story that we're probably very familiar with about a man that had something that needed to be changed in his life. This man's name was Bartimaeus, and he had a problem of blindness. He couldn't see. You know, it's totally off topic, and maybe whatever, but I heard this the other day, and I thought it was appropriate, and I thought maybe it would make sense to some people, but did you know why President Trump doesn't wear glasses? Because he has 20/20 vision. Well, obviously this man, he didn't have 20/20 vision. He was blinded. You know, the Bible tells us there's more than just physical blindness. More than just physical blindness, there's also spiritual blindness when we're blinded by sin. And you know, all these different things that are going on today and have been going on for years, really, I believe the devil uses them to try and keep people blind. He tries to use these different things to keep people from seeing. And obviously, you know, everyone in here that I know of can see, and sometimes maybe we take that for granted, and maybe sometimes we get some sort of debris in our eye, or something irritates our eye, or gets in our eye, or scratches your eye, and it really is a pain, it's a bother. But yet, we take our sight for granted. If only we could realize that seeing or foreseeing is a big deal. You know, a little bit earlier today, I wish I could have seen something ahead of time. I was over at the mission house driving the Kubota tractor with a brush whacker behind it. Kind of like a big lawnmower is really what it is. And I was driving over by the arbs behind the mission house, and I didn't see something that was passing right next to me, and I felt a pain on my wrist, and I looked down, and right next to me was like a basketball-sized paper wasp nest that I had taken a chunk out of with the tractor I was on. I put my foot to that throttle, tried to get out as fast as I could, and I several times in the side, don't know quite how many, I know for sure 4 spots. Luckily, I don't really react to bee stings that bad. But man, if I would have seen that, I definitely would have stayed clear of there because I felt that. Got one right in the ear, and that's a really tender spot. You know, I have plenty good sight, but I didn't see that coming. But sometimes we take our sight for granted. You know, there was a point in time where we were blind just like everyone else out there. And we had a really great message, the men that were here from Pastor King, about that basically his title was, Great Men Are Not Always Wise. And how, so many times, you know, we can pick apart this person or we can pick apart that person when we really need to realize we got a lot to be thankful. We need to be thankful we're not blind with sin anymore, that Jesus has given us sight. I love this story though because it shows a lot of details and a great description. There's several things I want to say about what to do when God gives you sight. What should you do when God gives you sight? As Christians, which hopefully you're in here, you're accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have that sin washed away, you can see now that you're on your way to heaven. Hopefully that's each and every one of us in here. But what to do when God, what are you supposed to be doing with the sight that God has given us? First of all, we'll see how to get, maybe some things to get that sight, and then what to do with it. Verse number 46, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Something he was probably very familiar with at this point. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now, up to this point, he's obviously never seen Jesus because he's blind. He don't know for sure how long he's been blind, but we know he's blind. He can't see Jesus. But point number one, he had attention. He had paid attention. He had paid attention to things he heard about Jesus. He had paid attention to when people are traveling by, you know, he's by the roadside and I'm sure he picked up bits and pieces of info here and there. He knew there's something special about Jesus. Maybe he had heard people tell stories of people that he had healed, of miracles that he had done. We're a little ways into Jesus' ministry by this point, and I'm sure he's heard a lot of different things sitting by that roadside begging. Maybe there's even been people that passed by and said, oh man, Bartimaeus, if only you could see, you could go to Jesus and get all your problems taken care of, which is kind of redundant because he couldn't get there. He couldn't figure a way, sitting by the roadside begging. But he got news this day that Jesus was coming his way. And he was determined to get Jesus' attention. You know, there's different things that maybe get our attention. You know, it's kind of sad what's going on, but probably things that happen in the news get our attention. Maybe you see a headline in the morning when you wake up, or you hear things that happen during the day that get your attention. Maybe there's different weather forecasts that get your attention. Maybe there's, you know, that the thing I think of a lot is sometimes when you have that last minute, you know, bottom of the ninth inning or 10 seconds on the shot clock or last second field goal, you're at attention. The whole game you could be spaced out, but as long as you catch those last little bit, you know who's going to win and lose. It gets your attention. You know, my son Weston, when he's hungry, he gets your attention. And gets it pretty quick sometimes, especially at night when he's hungry. Wakes you up as he's hungry. Different ways to get your attention. I wonder, when we go to read our Bibles in the morning, does it get our attention? I wonder when we, you know, we go to church and we hear preaching, does it get our attention? Does it get our attention to the point that we have to cry out, we have to get more? See, Bartimaeus, he was blind, so he was in a real fix. He really needed to get Jesus' attention. Praise the Lord, we've got our salvation, but there's more than just our salvation. We've got to be seen. We've got to be looking after. He began to cry out, verse 47, and say, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The second thing is his attitude. He's not going to be stopped. Now, usually people don't physically try and stop you from learning about God's Word, although it sounds like those churches in California, there's some physical opposition going on. But usually, you don't face much physical opposition. It's more of a battle against yourself, A battle against your own mind. A battle against your own flesh. What's going to gain your attention? What you're going to focus on? What you're going to put your effort into? And just having some different conversations with my neighbors, obviously the first thing that always comes up is either the latest news headline or the politics. That's what everyone's talking about. It just, you know, sometimes it just gets old after a while. And you realize there's more than this. You know, these people, they've got to see something more. And even talking with a buddy of mine the other day that I play disc golf with, obviously he's fed up with this, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, tries to do the opposite of what you tell him, won't wear a mask, anything like that. He's totally against anything that people try and tell him to do, which obviously is not always the right attitude that he has. But I was trying to witness to him, invite him out to friend day. But anyways, you know, they got to a point where he's just ready to quit talking about the things that are happening, and he was ready to hear or talk about spiritual things. And it's more than we realize. People are ready for a change. People are ready to hear about how they can see something better. They're sick of all the news things and the lies they're being told, and they just want to hear some truth. The sad thing is, too many times, our attitude isn't what it should be. We don't have the attitude of this man. When he knew he had to get sight. And there's people out there that need to hear how they can get their sight. But what if we're haphazard about it? What if we're like the people that maybe try and quiet people that get excited about sharing things? Many charge him. He should hold his peace. He's being obnoxious. You know, maybe you've been accused before of being an obnoxious witnesser. You know, you keep witnessing to someone over and over again. Hopefully we do. And Jesus stood still, verse 49, and commanded him to be called, and they call the blind man. I imagine that was probably a pretty humiliating circumstance, maybe to be one of those that tried shushing Bartimaeus. And then Jesus turns and tells maybe the guy that shushed him, like, hey, tell Bartimaeus to come over here. Now, at that point, that guy's probably thankful that at that time Bartimaeus couldn't see, and hopefully he wouldn't know who he was that was shushing him after he could see again. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Did you know that Jesus is calling every single person out there to get saved? He is. That's something we can be excited about. We can be of good comfort about that. We know for a matter of a fact that Jesus wants every single person out there to be saved. And sometimes when you're witnessing, and trust me, I'm preaching to the choir here. Sometimes when you're out witnessing, it's kind of the feeling of like, man, I wonder if this person will ever even get saved. It's not whether they will, it's whether they can. And it's our responsibility to make sure they know how. They've got to know how they can get their blindness taken care of. If we had a cure for blindness, I mean, obviously, not only would you be really rich, but there'd be a lot of people that you'd be telling it about. You'd want to share it as much as you could, because that's really something impossible. It is. And salvation is impossible. There's no way around it. We can't get saved in ourselves, but Jesus can. And Jesus is the only one here that could heal this man of his blindness. And he casting away his garments. I would have loved to see it. Now, obviously, I mean, I don't know what it looked like to see a blind man cast away his garments. And I don't know if somebody took his hand and led him, or if he just knew where he was supposed to go. I'm not quite sure. But he cast away his garments, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And obviously, Jesus knew the man was blind. What wilt thou that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the next thing that Jesus says is really a compliment. Man, if I get to heaven someday and Jesus said something like this to me, I would be ecstatic. Go thy way, thy faith. If Jesus said my faith did any good someday when I get to heaven, that's going to be an awesome thing. But this man had enough faith that it made him whole. And there's people out there, they have the faith, they just don't know what to put it in. They can believe in Jesus to get them to heaven, to take away their blindness of sin. They just maybe can't get to Jesus because no one's showing them the way. No one's telling them about him. No one's taking them to Jesus. You know, there's that verse in Matthew 15, you know, where if the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? They fall into a ditch. Can we expect the blind people to lead the blind people and see something happen? No. See, we have a responsibility to be out there showing the blind people where to go. Because they're not going to know where to go. They're going to end up falling in the ditch. The Bible says it itself in Matthew. And immediately, here's the action part. Had to have the attention, had to have the right attitude. Here's the action part. And Jesus said to him, go the way the faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, in the beginning of the year, Pastor cast a vision praying for new families. I really believe there's families out there that if they'll see, they could become part of this church. If somebody will just show them how to see, show them who can heal their blindness. I'm really praying for, especially my renter right now. I really think that that's somebody God wants to use. He's put there obviously for a reason. But if they don't hear, if they don't get that vision, if they can't have someone help them, they're not going to get anywhere. When we first got saved, obviously there's that excitement, and there's still that excitement. And, you know, one of the most exciting things there is about the Christian life is when you see someone get healed of their blindness, when you see someone get saved. There's just nothing that replaces that feeling of walking someone through the gospel or after hearing a message preached about the gospel and then coming back, and they just get it. You know, they just get it, and they're ready to get saved, and you lead them, and sometimes it's the most simplest prayer ever. And then they look up, and you can just tell they're not blinded anymore. I remember one time in particular, we were in Florida, and obviously I was traveling with Dr. Jim, and there's different challenges that come with it. We're in Florida, and, you know, obviously we do the war special forces, so there's very much a military theme, and it was always a something I really wanted to see is if I could get some JROTC guys on board with me. That's like a prep for those going into the military. There's a high school program. Most public high schools have some type of JROTC. And I remember one time in particular, I was by the outside of a school and I happened across this man. And I don't know why, but he's an adult man. I think I saw a name tag or something. I can't remember exactly, but I just felt like, you know what, I need to talk to this guy. There may be some type of inroad here. And it turns out he was involved with a JROTC in this Florida school, and he gave me a time at 4:30, I don't remember what it was, after school, show up, and he'll let me speak to his JROTC guys. So obviously it's something you get really excited about. Because, you know, not only do you want to, you know, get these people out to this competition, but you're like, man, this is a whole group you get to speak to, which doesn't happen. I remember as soon as that time was up after school, I was there 2 minutes early, knowing, like, with the military thing, I assumed they'd be very punctual. Well, time came, time went, 10 minutes late, still nothing. I'm sitting there on school property getting a little nervous because some people question whether you're supposed to be on school property with this outside organization. You can get in trouble for that. And here I am sitting on school property waiting by exactly the point in the building where he told me to be. And someone comes walking out and I said, hey, do you know where the JROTC is meeting? And they're like, oh, they're probably back in their training areas too. Some things are underway. Sure enough, I went back there and they train for these competitions, these group competitions, supposed to teach teamwork, things that do with ropes and all sorts of things. Anyways, I go back there, the commander sees me, and he immediately apologized, and he calls all the guys in a circle around me and told them, listen up, and I think they might have even made him get down on one knee, I can't remember, but he told them to listen up, and listen as I told him about this competition we were having. Told him about the competition, anyone interested, I'll get names and numbers afterwards, boatload of names and numbers. I don't remember the exact number, I would guess it's somewhere around 20, 25 teenagers sign up that they're interested in coming. And I remember going back that night, as a team, we would always get together and we'd pray for different recruits we got signed up that night. You know, pray that they'll come to the rallies Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. And it's a big deal. Those times in prayer really unified us as a team. When you get a burden for someone and you pray for them and then you see them come out to a competition, you see them get saved, and you maybe even get to be the one that walks through those final steps of the gospel with them, it's a big deal. And I remember first night came and just a couple ROTC people came, but I was excited. By the end of it, by the third night, there was close to 20 of them that were end up coming out, bringing their friends. Great time. Great at tug of war because they do tug of war competitions. And so they had a leader that would yell commands and they knew what to do. It was pretty awesome. But I remember there was a particular young man. I wish I could remember his name. Can't remember his name, but I got to pull him aside that Friday night. He went back at invitation, got to talk with him. And I could not believe the things that were blinding his mind. Obviously, there was sin issues there that we were working through, and he had no doubt he was a sinner. That was for certain. And I just remember thinking, wow, this young man has been so deceived, so confused by the things of this world. He didn't get saved. I don't know if he's gotten saved to this point. He didn't get saved that night. There was just too much confusion going on. But he was so blinded. And I just wonder if someone wouldn't have shared with the gospel with him just 3 or 4 years earlier, before he got into high school, before he got into all this thinking. I wonder if he would have been a different man. You see, we have a responsibility as people that have our sight to share how other people can have their sight. And just to wrap it up, I thought it'd be appropriate to read a hymn from a lady who was blind, Fanny Crosby. Many of you have heard of her. She fought through her blindness, wrote many amazing hymns. But one of the famous hymns she wrote, really familiar to us, is called Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, weakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. There's someone out there that's blind that needs to hear how they can get their sight. And maybe it's this Friend Day. Maybe there's someone that you need to invite for this coming Friend Day. You know, like Pastor mentioned, it's just kind of not quite as climactic. We haven't as much time to build up with it, what's all that's going on. But there's people out there that would come to Friend Day if we'll tell them. And maybe that's the day they could get their sight. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the example of Bartimaeus and how you healed his sight. Lord, thank you that you've given us sight. Lord, thank you we can know we're on our way to heaven. Lord, use the simple challenge from your word to encourage and also make aware for each and every one of us that there's people out there that need to hear about how they can have their blindness removed. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.